celebration as above. Beginning of the chapter. The name of the chapter is Or Hadas Hashar L'Tshuva. Light of Das, light of knowledge, is the gate to Tshuva. Shabbos, we spoke about how the ultimate knowledge is to realize that we don't know. The Rambam says, "Tachlis ha'idiyah shelein eda." The more we think we know, we think we know what's good for us, and what's not good for us. When we think that things are not good for us, then we get all bent out of shape. Let's see what he says. Tefillah Shemone Esrei. During Shemone Esrei, before we ask for anything, before we ask for redemption and so forth, the first thing we ask for is for das. We ask for knowledge. And immediately after asking for knowledge, we ask that Hashem should accept our tshuva. Chazal say that this order was established according to the following pasuk. It says, "Ulevava yovin, his heart will understand, v'shav, and he will do tshuva, he will repent, urefaloi, and then he will be cured." Mashma, so it seems from this, ki roish v'dishin hiyali tshuva ulechol sharat tefila, that the first and foremost, when it comes to tshuva and to all and to the rest of tefillah, the rest of prayer, vadas. First and foremost is knowledge. If you've acquired knowledge, then you're lacking nothing. If you're lacking knowledge, then you have acquired nothing. And so is written in the pasuk, "Gola hami mibli das." My nation has exiled because of a lack of knowledge. Shodesh hagolus, the root of golus, of exile, who shenilkach b'chinas hadas, is that knowledge is taken away from us.
I mean, to parse your words, when I think of das, I usually think of something like wisdom versus knowledge. My 16-year-old could probably run circles around most people in terms of all the facts and figures that he knows, but he has no wisdom. Doesn't know what to do with that. He doesn't know what it means.
Knowledge, and I'll explain what knowledge means. I believe I'll explain.
Okay. I can wait.
Yeah. The term knowledge usually in Sfarim is used as being able to. What's the right word? Being able to connect that we know, that we understand, being able to bring that out in our actions, in our speech, in our.
That's fine. I usually think of that as a right. That's my semantics.
With Svarim Hakdoshim, Yisa al Yisoid Mamar Hakosuk. In this forum, it is brought based on the pasuk "Yodah Hayoyim," you shall know today. And you will then do tshuva. So you see from here, "Shadas mavia l'tshuva." You see that das, the knowledge, brings about tshuva. Right? "Yodah Hayoyim," and then "Hashivoyso Elavavecha." Now the reason, the explanation in all this is, the source, the root of sin, comes from the compromise of the Eitz Hadas. That is when there became a confusion of good and evil. It is since then that it is difficult for man to discern and to separate, I'm sorry, but to discern the and to fully understand the great compromise that evil causes. To what extent the damage of one's avera is. So that is what the Eitz HaDaas caused, that we don't recognize the damage of avers.
So it wasn't actually an Eitz HaDaas, it was an Eitz of thinking we have Das. Is that it, like you said yesterday?
What did I say yesterday? Eitz HaDaas. Basically, you have to say that because that's what the Nachash said to Chava. That when you eat from it, you will be like God.
You will think you're like God.
Oh, but you have to say that, right? You can't.
Okay.
Right. We're definitely not like God.
Right.
I mean. So you have to say that when that's. So that was just a. So it's all it causes that we think that we're like God, that we have the ability to know what's good and what's bad. Right. Amar Chazal say, "Im ein das havdola menayim." Chazal say that without knowledge, one does not have the ability to discern and to separate between two things. A person needs the power of Das to be able to differentiate. And therefore, Shodesh HaTshuva Hi HaDas. Therefore, the root of Tshuva is Das. A person needs to be able to differentiate between what's good and what's bad.
Shekehevel Vencha. The
That just like there's a difference between life and death, and between light and dark, and light and darkness, so also is there a total separation. That is how distant Toiv and Ra is. Right, it's not. All right, it's not so bad. No, if it's not so bad, then you still haven't been able to differentiate between Tev and Ra.
Yeah, but don't we say some things are worse than others, or do we have a simply utterly bad and utterly good? We do have a range of things, right?
I think that the things that are even the better of the worse, mm-hmm. we have no concept of how bad they are. My twins were talking in the back of the car while I was driving carpool, and they're learning opposites in school. Mm-hmm. Talking about Havdalah here. So one says, dead and old are opposites. So the other one says, no, dead and alive are opposites. Dead and almost dead are not opposites. Das. Clearly, we have no grasp on what is really the same thing as with mitzvahs. We have no idea how toiv mitzvahs are. It's not only that we don't know how terrible averas are. We have no idea how good mitzvahs are. There's this confusion of Tov and Ra has gotten everything mixed up. Now this is something. This just this phrase is like the whole paragraph in Tanya. There's either good or bad. There's nothing in between. That whatever we consider in between is only because of our lack of being able to discern between good and evil. It's a product of the Chetul Yetzadas. So if there's something that we consider, okay, this is not a vera. Okay, is it a mitzvah? No, it's not a mitzvah. Well, it's got to be one of the two. What is it? So if you're doing it, Tanya explains, if you're doing it for the right reasons, if you're going to do this because this is going to assist you in your service of Hashem in whatever way possible, so then it's a mitzvah. And if it's not going to assist you in any way to your service of Hashem, then it's an avera.
Everything's a mitzvah and avera. There's nothing that's par.
Nothing par. He says it right here. Well, the shayach b'zeh davar memutzah
yiruv. That's probably subjective. One thing that might assist one person doing of course might be different for somebody else.
Right.
Might be, for me, it might be great to have
absolutely
a big donut.
Absolutely.
And for you?
Absolutely.
Right, of course. The Gemara tells a story of two people that are eating their carbon peso. Right, one of them is eating for the sake of a mitzvah, and one of them is eating a chilagasa. They have no room anymore; they're just stuffing their face. And the Gemara says, on this is written the pasuk, "Tzadikim yelchu b'amu, poishim yikash lebam," that the righteous will walk in the mitzvahs, the sinners will stumble on the mitzvahs. So you have two people doing exact same thing. He's a tzaddik and he's a sinner.
Well, this comes up at Shalasudas this time of year.
Right, so if you're eating, I mean, this time of year, there's no question that when I'm eating Shalasudas, I'm eating it only for the sake of the mitzvah.
And if you're eating, you're stuffing yourself. For the sake of the mitzvah. Because
you
I really.
The desires of bread, you're right. Done. That's all you do. Right. You're stuffing yourself with the desires of bread.
When you taste just two fish, you see how good it is.
That's when you might be stuffing your face. Okay.
You could go over to the dark side of the bar instead of that.
Talking about doing avers. All right. Moving to good. You have two people learning also. One person's doing a mitzvah, one person's doing a mitzvah. To be able to differentiate between what is truly good and what is truly bad is the exact opposite of the power of the Yetzirah, Hamatl Bilbul V'Tishtesh Adas. That's what the power of the Yetzirah is, to bring about confusion. Total confusion to the point that we wouldn't be able to discern what is truly good and what is truly bad. Chazal say a person does not do an avera unless a spirit of foolishness has entered him. Meaning that spirit of foolishness is the opposite of knowledge. Right? Knowledge is to know the difference between good and bad. Foolishness is to be totally confused.
But if a person knows something wrong and they do it anyway, that's not foolishness.
Stupidity.
Well, if a lot of times it's not that you know, and you want to do it anyway. So how does that?
Because you're letting your guard down, I think.
Right, or you're justifying yourself somehow.
So you're rationalizing, right? You really don't know.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a Just something comes over you and you act silly. You just don't think right.
And the proof is that after you've done the Avera, you're knocking yourself in the head. What did I just do? Mm-hmm. Usually. As the Slonim Rebbe says in Beir Avram, is Ela Shaina. Ki Adas Oysa Eitzel Ha'odom Hevel. Knowledge causes the person to be able to differentiate, to discern. Chmama Morin Arav Moshe Mekabrinus Chusik Amaleinu B'mamar HaKosuv. As the Kabrinus explains the Pasuk in Yishaya, L'datoi Mo'ois B'ro U'b'chor B'toiv. Right, with a person's das, they have the ability to repulse evil and to choose good. The hainu, meaning kishim, is v'nin odom v'data. When a person contemplates in his mind, shehavodah yizborah v'borah sa'idam yesh me'ayin, that Hashem created the world, or creates the world, something out of nothing. Hashem constantly creates the world out of totally nothingness. And he is a great king. He really doesn't need us. It's just out of his love to us, he chose us. When a person thinks about that, with this, the person will desert that is opposite Hashem's will. And he will do Hashem's command with great pleasure and pride. Therefore, that is why it is necessary for the person should have das with great strength. Meaning this das, this constant knowledge of Hashem is constantly creating me, and He is Melech Malchai Amlochim, and out of His great love for me, He wants my avodah. When the person realizes that, that will give the person meaning in their choices, and then the person will definitely choose to do what's right. But when the person does not have the knowledge that will cause him to separate between good and evil, as a gamki shav v'tshuva ain't tshuva asa shlema. So then, even when the person does tshuva, their tshuva is not whole, because such a person is destined to go back to their old ways.
How does this whole discussion fit together with what you said yesterday? It's like, I know this is good, and what you said is good, and reconciling and putting the two together is difficult.
Not sure why. He is talking about facing challenges between good and evil, right? And he's telling us that we need to, and our choices need to be with total understanding and knowledge of what's good and what's not good.
Yes.
I was talking about dealing with life situations.
And saying the situation I'm in is bad.
It's bad, right. And therefore...
So we're not talking there, by your yesterday, we're not talking about what am I going to do,
right.
But rather the situation that I'm in is bad. So this is looking outside, whereas the das that we're talking about here is knowing what I should do about it. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Utchila, nevayer. Who's Hadas HaMakar? So let's first explain the essence of Das. Shehi Oreshis HaShoyrish HaMakar, which is the beginning, the root, and the source, Lavoides Hashem, for the service of Hashem. when the chesiv, as it says in the pasuk, in the pasuk, ve'elastech li be'emuna, I have betrothed you with emuna. Yadat as Hashem, you shall know Hashem. And shekosav agan hakadosh, Rav Ruchaim Vital, zochrein levracha, b'tam shleim nichtuva b'toyra hakadoshin in amidus tovus b'mefurish. As Rav Ruchaim Vital writes, the reason why good character traits are not written in the Torah, the obligation for a person to obtain good character traits, is because the reason why they're not written in the Torah is because they are a prerequisite to Torah. It's only somebody who has good character traits. It's only on such a person that the sanctity of Torah and mitzvahs can rest. The Torah was only given to somebody who has already purified their character traits. The das follows the same rule. The root and the source for
it's like a chicken and egg problem here. We say the Torah is given to people who've already purified their character traits. On the other hand, we need the Torah to purify our character traits.
Yep.
So it's Torah is only given to people who don't need it?
No. The purpose of Torah is not the only purpose of Torah is to purify character traits. It's not.
No, here it says only for people who already purified their character traits.
Right.
Traits.
So he's saying that. So according to Rechaim Vital,
right?
So then somebody who purified the character traits, what do they need Torah for?
But don't we need Torah to purify our character traits?
But then again, it says here that if you don't have it, you can't learn the Torah.
So there's the Torah before and the Torah after. Meaning that it's meaning that the first of all, I don't think Torah is the only way to purify character traits. That's number one. I do believe Torah has the ability to purify character traits. So what all Rechaim Vital is saying is that the person that is learning Torah and has not yet purified the character traits is that the Torah is not going to stick. Meaning that the Torah is not going to be that acquisition that it would have been had he already purified his character traits.
You make a case. A long time ago,
I
started that
K-Link. If it's not going to stick, then I'm wasting my time.
No, you're not, because it's purifying your character traits.
Oh. It's almost like a clea that has holes in it. I think that the learning of Torah helps patch those holes.
Right.
We have a story with Chavetz Chaim. We had it about this boy who didn't have a father, I think, and a long time ago. So the mother came over to Chavetz Chaim and says, what do I do with him? So he had an hour. What did he do in that 1 hour? Instead of learning with him, he built up his character by telling him stories and everything.
Well, it was a
And then once he had that, then you're able to put that was a keli, and then you can put things in there. And he was a little fisher now.
I'm trying to think of a good example for it. The Torah accomplishes two things. It rids a person of the negative, and it brings extra sanctity in a person. Until the person has gotten rid of all the negative stuff, it's not going to bring upon the person that extra sanctity. That's what Rechaim Vital is saying. As long as we're still holding on to the sherets, right? As long as we're still in rumming through the garbage, the kedusha sater is not going to accomplish anything. The kedusha sater is not going to have an effect upon us.
But that continual learning.
But
once the Torah
has accomplished, but Torah also is a cleansing agent. So once the Torah has cleansed us, and then we're continuing learning Torah, that's when we have the ability to obtain the sanctity of Torah as well. There is no shear, there is no limit to the sanctity of the Torah. There's always more and more room to grow. So that even after a person has purified their character traits, a person has, there's a never-ending ladder of how high a person can reach in the levels of sanctity. Okay. So he says, so the Nesivah Shalom is adding, that Das has the same function, meaning Hashodesh Ramakor, the days of Ashkovas Yehudiyos Amitiyos, Shu Bechinez Merkova Lashlos Abtayr Amitiyos. In order for a person to be able to truly appreciate the Kiddush of Torah, once again, is if a person has Jewish and truthful philosophy. A person has to have real emuna, bitocha. These are all things that are that build, that are just, it's not that they build, they are the basis of the Jewish mind. And as once that a person has a Jewish mind, that's when they can start really appreciating Torah. Without the basis of the correct philosophy, the Torah mitzvahs, a person is unworthy of Torah mitzvahs. This is the introduction to Kabbalah Satayim. If a person doesn't have Amuna in Hashem, then what's the point in keeping the mitzvahs?
That's why we say toward the end of davening, in Kalein, before we say Mikalein. Didn't know that.
He's writing for people at a much higher level, because if this were, I mean, there'd be no such thing as a Baal Tshuva. It'd be logically impossible,
right?
Because if you don't have Emuna, you're not then doing mitzvahs. We always say that even if you don't have a feeling for this particular mitzvah, you should just do it, and the feeling will come.
Feeling and knowing. Feeling and knowing. He's not saying you have to have feelings. He's always saying you have to have faith.
Okay, so you're saying that nobody's going to do a thing as silly as putting on tefillin unless they have some idea that this is a good idea, that this is something they ought to be doing.
All that they need to know is that there is, they have to believe that there is a God that commanded us to do this. If you don't believe that there's a God that commanded you to do it, then what are you doing?
But for a person who's starting, I don't know, but why would they start?
Right.
Exactly. Right, okay.
That's the elephant. With the Fiza, according to this, Yisbor Alonu in Yonam Shalmarechas Yud Gimel Oikrim Sharambam Hegediram Ki Ikro Yamuna Sheyehudim Chuyiv Lahamuahem. According to this, you can understand what is it? What is the Marechas? It's a the build-up of the 13 principles of faith that the Rambam considers them the source of emuna, that every Jew is obligated to believe in them. The Rambam says that if somebody does not believe in one of these 13 principles of faith, humin v'koifer, the Rambam says that such a person is a apikoris. And such a person is worse, says the Rambam, than anybody who transgresses any of the averis that are written in the Torah. Now, the 13 principles of faith are not written in the Torah. Right? So, how can the Rambam, and nevertheless, the Rambam says that if somebody transgresses something that's written in the Torah, he's not necessarily an apikoros. If someone doesn't believe in one of these 13 principles, then that person is an apikoros. It's a lot worse than transgressing. Reason is because there's no point in observing anything in the Torah if one doesn't have the principles of faith. And he explains, L'chora, L'imuvan. So it seems not understandable. L'ma enim b'perashim ha-Torah. Why, if these are so important, why aren't they written in the Torah? There are some of these ikrim, some of these principles that are only written and are only hinted to in the Torah. And there are those that don't even have a remez. Why don't we find explicitly in the Torah the obligation to believe in divine providence? Ki hu yizborach levadlo also isav yasal chalamasim, that Hashem Himself is the one that does that creates and will create everything that's created. Ki hu yedeya komasim and yodav chalamachshuvim, that He knows all sorts of actions and all of a person's thoughts. That's not written in the Torah anywhere. Ken amunu beviyas amashiach tchias amesim. And the faith in Mashiach's coming and the resurrection of the dead, that's only hinted to in the Torah. But what's included in this is a very important, a tremendous, encompassing thought. That Torah and mitzvahs were given to somebody who is a Jew. It's not sufficient that you're a Jew because you were born into the Jewish nation. You are a Jew because, not only because you're born into the Jewish nation, it's because you are a Jew because you think like a Jew. It's because your philosophies and your mind is Jewish. And the essence of the Jewish knowledge is just the simple knowledge, without any question, that there is no God besides Hashem, and that there is no place that is void of His presence. That Hashem sustains everything. Everything that is in the world, no matter whether it's a still object, a sprouting object, an animal, a human being, its only existence is from Hashem's power, a spark from above, that sustains and gives the life source to everything. Yehudi be'etzem, the essential Jew, Nikra, is called someone who this philosophy is engraved in their essence. And all these 13 principles of faith are all part of the Jewish knowledge. This knowledge brings a person to absolute faith in divine providence. Because if in everything there is a spark of above that that sustains it, then it is improbable that Hashem's providence should not be upon this spot. It's also mammon, the person believes one of the other principles of faith is that it is only to Hashem that we should daven. Chashanom's chazal mamoram, as Chazal say, ain das tefillah menayim, without knowledge, then there is no purpose of prayer either.